Jesus Christ throughout all generations, world without end. Amen. That's Ephesians 3, verse 14 through 21. As we look at that passage, we understand in one sense that this is a prayer of Paul. Paul says, I bow my knees. And then he says, this is what I'm praying about. But it's more than simply a prayer like we have prayed here today. Because Paul is writing by inspiration. And so this is what God intended for Paul to write. And so these are God's words. These are God's sentiments. And so while it's Paul's words, the idea is from God. This beautiful picture of the church is what God has in mind for us. And when we think about this idea that the church is a family and that these words that Paul, the Spirit through Paul tells us, he's already led out with that idea. He begins the very letter by telling us that God is our Father in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. That this Father wanted to adopt us into His family, Ephesians 1 and verse 5, and He wants to give us His inheritance, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 11. And when He describes us, He speaks of us as being part of His household, Ephesians 2 and verse 19. That we're fellow heirs, that we're fellow members, that we're fellow partakers, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 6. And the best part of it all is that this was in God's mind in the eternity before time. That this was always the way that God wanted it to be. When we think about the family of God, most of the sermons that I've heard are valuable. And that is that we're family to one another. And even as we speak of what we're going to speak about today, this is a part of that. That what we're going to see from Ephesians chapter 3 should make us closer to one another. But I want you to think about this question. We're part of God's family. What does that mean to God? The idea that we are part of His family, what does that mean to Him? And I want to notice just three things briefly this morning. First of all, we're part of God's family. What does that mean to God? It means that there is something that He wants to give us. That's in verse 14 through 17. There's something that He wants to give us. You know, Thomas Silverstein has to be the most unfortunate prisoner in the American federal prison system. Thomas Silverstein is a man who has been spending his time in solitary confinement since 1983. He is said to be moniker of being the most dangerous inmate in federal prisons. His home life was terrible. Some say that he's a victim of circumstances and maybe even mistreatment in jail, but he killed a prison guard in 1983. It was because of his actions that federal penitentiary workers created the Supermax prison. And because of his actions, he has not had contact with other humans for almost four decades. If you talk to prisoners, they will tell you that the most severe form of torture is solitary confinement. Mosey Lister wrote one of our songs in our song book, and one of the lines that he says is, I don't know a thing in this whole wide world that's worse than being alone. When we think about how valuable it is to have the church through times like these when we're socially distancing, it is that we have one another. But the Apostle Paul is reminding us of something else. And that is that we are never alone because of the presence of God. If you'll look at Ephesians 3, 14 through 17, all three personalities of the Godhead are mentioned. And then the Apostle Paul says that the Spirit of God dwells in the inner man and that Christ dwells in our heart through faith. All of this mention of the Godhead, of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, it's the picture of divine help, but it's also a picture of intimacy and of relationship. God wants to give us a relationship. He wants to give us a relationship with Him. And that relationship with Him is going to help us to be able to bear the most difficult things that we go through in this life. He wants us to succeed, to overcome, so that we can live with Him in His house forever. When you think about a relationship, you think about the individuals involved wanting to give. If you're in love, you can't help yourself but to give gifts to the one that you love. As we think about our Father, He wants to give us. Why don't we see the things that he wants to give us? He wants to give us strength, Ephesians 3 and verse 16. He wants to give us increased faith that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 17. And I don't know that I always know the answers to how he does that, but I know he does it through the means of answered prayer. We pray for strength. We've done so here already today. We know he does so through providence, through time and events. He works through others and through things to accomplish his will, part of which is to give us those that equipment that we need to spiritually survive if we will be willing to do so. But we also know he does this through the means of one another, through the fellowship that we derive through each other. We value that and we appreciate that right now, perhaps like we have it in the past. But John reminds us in 1 John 1 and verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, continually cleanses us from all sins. And he most certainly gives us this strength that we need through our knowledge of his word. As we fill our hearts with his word, he strengthens us. And that shows us what it means to God for us to be in his family. He wants to give us gifts. The gifts through faith that we find in this book are things like Ephesians 3 and verse 12, boldness and access with confidence through Jesus Christ. He gives us unity. That is a basis of oneness that's stronger than anything else you can think about. Stronger than politics. Stronger than our allegiance to our favorite sports team. Stronger than any earthly thing is what's available through Christ and what he gives us. He also gives us a shield from the darts of the devil, Ephesians 6 and verse 16. We're part of God's family. What does that mean to God? It means in the first place that there are things that he wants to give us. And chief in that is he wants to give us a relationship with him. We'll talk about how we get that at the very end of this lesson. But then second, we're part of God's family. What does that mean to God? It means that there is something that he wants us to know. Verse 18 and 19. What does he want us to know? You know, often when we use this word knowledge, what we have in mind is the knowledge of God's word. And God has always placed a premium on the importance of knowing his word and his will. You remember in Hosea 4 and verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I have rejected you from being my priest. Because you have forgotten the law of the Lord your God, I will also forget your children. God's saying we need to grow in our knowledge. We need to know his word. But in this text, he says there's something additional that I want you to know, that I need you to know. And the knowledge of this can make all the difference as to whether you spiritually survive or not, as to whether you are a functioning, viable member of my family or not. He wants us to comprehend it. He wants us to know it. He wants us to be filled with it. And only by being filled with the knowledge of this can we be filled with all the fullness of God. And what he wants us to know is his love. That I may know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that I might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, what's going to happen when we know this love? Well, the Apostle Paul says it won't stay vertical. It's got to extend to the horizontal. And so in the second part of this letter, you have the Apostle Paul saying, here are these great truths about God. Now, here's what it means in your relationship with each other. I want you to bear with one another in love. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 2. I want you, even if it's painful, even if it's difficult, even if it strains your relationship, I want you to speak the truth in love with one another. I want you to be devoted to building up one another in love, Ephesians 4 and verse 16. And I want you to walk in love, Ephesians 5 and verse 2. But what's that mean? It means I've got to be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving. Look back at Ephesians 4 and verse 32. He wants me to know. But you see, that's all these things I just mentioned are effects. They're not the cause. We love because he first loved. And equipped with that love, who is it going to keep us from reaching out to in love? If we get a hold of that love, of the love of God, we're going to extend that love to our lost neighbors. We're going to extend that love even to our enemies, but we are certainly also going to extend it to one another. We will fulfill that characteristic that Jesus says is the hallmark of his disciples. How do people tell that you're following me? It's your love that you have one for another. John 13, 34 and verse 35. Often people quote, and I love this quotation of Tertullian, and in his day was living at a time in which Christianity was very unpopular. And the pagan people of his day would say, when they spoke of the Christians, how they love one another and how they are ready to die for one another. This strong characteristic that was existent in the family of God drew people to Christianity even at a time when it was highly unpopular to do so. Think of the power that exists in the church of our Lord when we know what God wants us to know, and that is His love for us. But then third, we're part of God's family. What does that mean to God? It means that there is something that He wants to do for us. That's verse 20 and 21. Now, before we get there, we've got to walk backwards to Ephesians chapter 2 for a moment and remember how Paul describes us before we were Christians. We were dead in trespasses and sins. We walked according to the course of this world. We walked in the vanity of our mind. We indulged the desires of the flesh and of the mind and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That's what we were. But the grace of our Lord appeared and changed things in our lives. There's something that God wants to do for us. He wants to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. And what He wants to do for us is far more or exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. When we think about what God wants to do for us, how powerful it is. When we think about things from God's perspective for a moment, every sin, that like that mentioned in Ephesians 2, 1 through 3, is a violation of the perfect will of God. It's a personal offense against God. Let's try for a moment to put ourselves in the place of God. If you're in God's place and you're overlooking all of your creation, all of humanity, how would you feel about a people who were constantly angering and hurting and saddening you by the things that they did? If you were in the place of God, and I know it's impossible for us to put ourselves there, and what would your attitude be even if people came up to you and said, I'm sorry, would you please forgive me? We're not God, but that is the picture of God. He wants us to be in a relationship with us. So often what we do is when we think about our relationship with God, we put it in the realm of our experience with other people. What's our experience so often with other people? They don't want to let go of a grudge. They will not let us forget our past. They will not allow that we can grow and we can be something different from what we used to be. But what does God want to do? Far more exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And how does He accomplish this? To Him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ. He's counting on you and me to help Him to accomplish that in the lives of our brothers and sisters who are struggling and trying to grow, to be what God wants them to be, to realize their potential. He's partnering with us to do that. And He's partnering with our brothers and sisters to help accomplish that in us. And that's powerful. And that's what it means to be in the family of God. The kingdom of Tonga is a Polynesian nation that is comprised of 169 islands, 36 of which are inhabited. And the nation was originally known as the Friendly Islands because of Captain James Cook's first encounter with the inhabitants of those islands in 1773. Cook and his crew and their ships landed there on the main island at the time of the Anasi Festival, which was the time of the giving of the first fruits to the Supreme Tongan Chief. And so they were all extended an invitation to join in the festivities. But Cook misread the situation. You see, the reason why they extended that invitation to all of Cook and his crew members was so that they could kill them all. But they couldn't agree on a plan. All the local chiefs tried to come together to figure out how to do this. And some wanted to do it at night and others wanted to do it in the daytime. Some wanted to kill Cook and lure the others in. Others wanted to do it all at one time. And so here's Cook and all of his crew who come ashore. They're weak, they're emaciated for lack of food, but no signal was ever given. And Cook thought that these folks were actually friendly. You know, sometimes we may misread other people. Sometimes we look at how people interact with us in the world, and we know that the world has ulterior motives. They may seem like they're being nice, but there's some other agenda afoot. We may have even had that experience at some time in a church or with somebody in a church. But God lays all of his cards on the table. He says, this is what I want. This is what I'm after. I want you to be a part of my family. I want you to know what that means to me. I want you to know that what it means to me for you to be a part of my family is that I want to give you something. And what I want to give you is a relationship with me. I want you to know something. What I want you to know is my love, the nature of it, the extent of it. And I want you to know what I want to do for you. Far more, exceedingly abundantly, above all that we ask or can even think. That's how much it means to God. How much does it mean to me? If I am not a part of his family, what I'm saying, even if I don't think I feel this way, is that that family of God's not important to me. If I've not accepted his grace, you know, that's Ephesians 2 verse 5 through 8. He's rich in his mercy and his grace, and he wants to extend that to us. But by grace we are saved through faith. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. He tells us what's involved in that in the Ephesian letter, that there's one faith. That's a system of works, a system of ideas of the truth or of the way. That faith leads us to repent of our sins, to change our lives, leads us to confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and it leads us to that one baptism of Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 5. And through this we are placed into the family of God, into that body of Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, the church of his Son. Does it mean enough to us that we have done that? I know this is being extended virtually to all but the few men that are here with me today. But if you need to make that decision to become part of God's family, we've seen it on social media, individuals who have made contact and have come down to the church building or have gone somewhere else and have been baptized to have their sins forgiven. It's happened among us during this time. We want you to be part of God's family, and more importantly, God wants you to be part of his family. But maybe through all of this, you've had more time to think about where you are spiritually, and maybe you've not really been a faithful part of God's family, and you want that to change. You want to be closer to him and to your spiritual family. We want to help you do that, because you meaning that much to God, you mean that much to us as well. What a wonderful and powerful picture that God has painted for us, that we are part of his family, and that's the way he wants it. May that give us the strength as we strive to live through all the challenges and the good times of life. May God bless us in that.